Welcome to our current teaching series entitled Growing Through the Bible. Please take your Bible and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And today we're going to be continuing with growing through the Bible. And today we're specifically going to talk about a very, very important topic, and that is interpretation. How to discern the Bible. Interpretation, how to discern the Bible. Well, I'm so glad you're here for this message, and if you're listening online today, we want to welcome you, and if you're in the auditorium here, you have a program. Inside of your program is the study guide. I'd like to ask you to take that out and use it, and if you are listening online, you can download the study guide and get to it as well and use it as well. Well, today we're going to talk about something really, really, really important, and that is how do you interpret the Bible? And today we're going to talk about how to do that. So thank you for coming and joining with us. Now, as we talk about this, let's remember 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. This series is all about you growing through the Bible. It's about how you can learn in your life to use the Word of God to promote spiritual growth in your life. And the Bible says we grow thereby. We grow according to how much time we spend in God's Word. You have a lot of control, okay? Not all control, but you have a lot of control over the speed of your spiritual growth. And it's really based on how much you want to follow God's word when it says, desire the pure milk of the word. What kind of desire do you have for God's word? And the Bible says we're to desire it. That means we're to long for it. That's literally what that means. It means to have a passion for the Bible. And the analogy that's given is like a newborn babe, and how a newborn babe screams out and desires that mother's milk and that nourishment. And we are to scream out, so to speak, for the word of God. And the Bible says as we look at that in our lives and relate to that in our lives, we grow thereby. We grow according to how much we are taking in God's holy word. Now, the ultimate goal of this series is not just to grow through the Bible in the sense of coming to church more or getting into a small group. All those things are important, and if you know anything about me, you know that those are priorities for me, okay? They're important, okay? For you to be in church, to get into a small group, you've heard me say that over and over again, okay? But that's not the focus of this series. The focus of this series is for you on your own to be what I call a self-feeder, where you learn how to feed yourself God's word. Now, to do that, we've got some important subjects we're covering. We've already covered acceleration, the Bible, and spiritual growth. In that message, we just talked about, hey, you know, you need to accelerate your growth, and the way you do that is through the word of God. That's what the Bible teaches. Then we talked about inspiration, how we got the Bible. And we focused on the fact that, boy, you need to realize the Bible is the Word of God. And God gave us these words, and they're from Him. And the Bible says we are to welcome them into our lives and receive them as the Word of God. Last week we talked about perspiration, how to study the Bible. I explained to you my approach to Bible study. And I shared with you that acrostic, specs. Summarize the passage. S, P, promises to claim. E, examples to follow or avoid. C, commands to obey. And S, sins to confess. And we have to be workers in the word. It takes perspiration. Bible studies, hard, hard work. Now today we're going to take that further and talk about interpretation, how to discern the Bible. How can you properly interpret the Bible? Now, I grew up in a fantastic church. Okay, so let me just make that preface right there. Do you know how many messages, whole messages, I ever heard in church on how to interpret the Bible? Okay, you know how many I heard? Zero, okay? Not one message, okay? Not one message, whole message, teaching me how to interpret my Bible, okay? And so when you leave here today, you're going to have a different testimony than me, because you're going to hear a whole message. Now, we're just barely going to scrape the surface of this. I mean, this is really important. It's called hermeneutics. Hermeneutics, it's the science of biblical interpretation. And for my own situation, I had a whole semester of this in college. In seminary, I had a whole year, okay? But man, I thank God for a year and a half of my education was spent in hermeneutics, the science of biblical interpretation. So we need to understand this is important, okay? This is a big deal. This is a big deal, what we're talking about here today. But I do want to give you a kind of a overview of this and just help you to try to understand it some. Now, we're going back today to the passage we were in last week. But last week, we only covered one verse, and we didn't even cover the whole verse. We covered about three-fourths of the verse, and that was verse 15. Verse 15. Today, we're going to try to give you an overview of this entire passage, verses 14 through 18. So keep that in mind as we walk through this today. Here the Bible says, "Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. But study to show yourself approved unto God, a worker, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Last week we covered all of that verse except those words. And I told you, okay, we're coming back to this today. And here we are. We're back, okay? Rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Today we're talking about Bible interpretation. What's the fancy name for that? Hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the science of biblical interpretation. And it's the foundation for sound theology. Hermeneutics, it is the very foundation of sound theology. It's where you learn what it is to rightly divide the word of truth. Now, the task of an interpreter is this. The task of an interpreter is to discern the true meaning of the passage. That's why we've put these together, interpretation, how to discern the Bible. Because that really is what interpretation is all about. Interpretation, the primary task of the interpreter is to discern the true meaning of the passage. Now, what you got to understand is that every passage has only one true interpretation. Okay? Passages do not have multiple interpretations. There's only one true interpretation, but there are many applications. And you have to distinguish between interpretation and application. A biblical passage only has one true interpretation, and that's what you're trying to figure out. It has many applications, has many different applications to it. And it's the job of the interpreter to discern what is that true interpretation. What is that one interpretation of God's word? Let's go to page 2 today and let's talk about this some. Let's look at this and try to discover some things that can help us, okay? How to discern the Bible. The first thing you got to do is you got to know the plan. The plan for biblical interpretation. What is the plan? What does God want us to accomplish? What is his plan for us? Well, his plan for us is revealed in verse number 15. And that is that we would learn what it is to rightly divide the word of truth. That we would learn to rightly divide the word of truth. Now, bottom line is this, you will be able to properly understand the Bible. When you interpret the Bible, okay, that's God's plan. What that means is you properly understand the Bible. You properly understand the Bible. Now, to rightly divide the word of truth means to cut straight. That's what that word means. In the Greek, it means to cut straight, to cut it straight. Paul was a tent maker by trade, and he used this type of terminology here. You say, how do you know he was a tent maker? Well, the Bible tells us he was a tent maker. Acts 18, verse 3. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them. Who's them? Aquila and Priscilla. Okay, there was this godly couple, Aquila and Priscilla, and they helped disciple Paul. They helped him to grow in the Lord, and he helped them to grow in the Lord. And they had a common occupation, and that occupation was they were tent makers. They were tent makers. Now, you got to understand, going back to the earlier message on inspiration, how we got the Bible. Okay, I believe I pointed out in that message. If I didn't, I'll say it here, or I'll say it again here, that God would use, he was the one author, but he used others to write the Bible. But he was the author. The Bible says they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. They were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Now, God would often use the personality or the background of the writer in giving us the Word of God. And here's an example of this. Here's an example of this. Paul's writing this, and he's using vernacular that would kind of tie into his background as a tent maker. And the Bible says that the goal here is to cut it straight. To cut it straight. Now, how does that relate to us? Let's break that down. Do we have any tent makers here today? Please raise your hand, okay? Any tent makers, okay? All right, no tent makers. All right, no wonder tenting is going out or whatever, okay? You know, so somebody's got to do it. But let's think about tent making today. So you got a tent, you got like a roof or whatever, you got the sides, you got the flaps to go in, you got the poles or whatever, you got a lot of them have floors or whatever, okay? So you got all these pieces that have to be cut to put it together. And they have to be cut properly, okay? They have to be cut properly, right? Now let's break it down to us. Some of you sew, some of you are seamstress or whatever, okay? And maybe you can relate to it that way. Let's take my jacket here today, okay? This jacket. All right, so this jacket has different parts to it, right? Okay, it has, you know, the, what do you call this? Lapel. Okay. We're not doing too good today, are we? It has buttons with holes in it, you know? It has pockets on the inside, you know? It has to be cut a certain length for the sleeve to be able to go down my arm, right, okay? And it all has to balance out correctly, right? If it's right. If it's cut straight, it's going to be cut right, right? In other words, this sleeve, when they cut that sleeve, then they cut that sleeve, and hopefully they were very meticulous to make sure things are right. And then they kind of sewed it all together. They put it up on a rack, and lo and behold, this guy named Steve Reynolds came and bought it, okay? Now, in some stores, they have another rack. And this is a rack where the seamstress did not do a very good job, okay? And maybe one sleeve is longer than the other, or maybe some of the buttons are out of the way, or maybe they put too many button places in there. And they got, you know, they got four buttons on one side and five holes on the other, whatever. And so what do they do with that, you know, in some of these stores? Okay, they put it on a rack. And what's that rack called? The irregular rack, okay? Now, when it comes to interpretation, we have to cut it straight. And false theology comes off of the irregular rack. Right? Some of you today are wearing irregular clothes. Okay, does anybody want to show us an illustration? What's wrong with your clothes? Okay. All right. Okay. Nobody's willing to admit it. Okay. But anyway, okay. It was such a good deal. I couldn't pass it up. Whatever. Okay. That's cool. Okay. See, if we don't cut it straight, we'll end up with irregular theology. We'll end up with irregular theology. This is what Paul is saying, okay? So what we have to do is we have to Get into the Word of God. I love Psalm 119. Remember Psalm 119? What is it? The longest, what, chapter in the Bible, right? Look at verses 97 through 100. Oh, how I love your law! Exclamation mark. Do you love God's Word today? It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. Notice the word understanding. Okay? The psalmist isn't bragging. The psalmist is just quoting a fact. I have more understanding than my teachers, you know? I have more understanding than my teachers. I mean, in certain areas, he's saying, you know, I know more than they know, you know? I know more than they know. I know more than the elderly people. I know more than the ancients. I know more than the older people, okay? He's not bragging. He's just stating the fact. He's talking about his speed of spiritual growth here, you know? And how did he get to that understanding? He what? Meditated, okay? Verse 97, it is my meditation all the day. Verse 99, part B, for your testimonies are my what? Meditation. See, his speed of growth was determined by his time in God's Word. What he invested in the Word of God caused him to grow spiritually. You see that? And this is what God wants for each of us. You will be able to properly understand the Bible, but it doesn't stop there. God has a plan. And that plan for biblical interpretation is not just you properly understand the Bible. It's also you will be able to properly instruct others in the Bible. You'll be able to properly instruct others in the Bible. God wants to get you and God wants to grow you to the point where you can be a teacher. A teacher. This is why our last message is sharing the Word. Because you haven't really grown in the Word until you can share the Word. Listen to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. But for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you ought to be teachers. He's talking to a group of people, they've known the Lord for a while, they've been saved a while, but they haven't grown. And he's rebuking them. He's coming down hard on them. He's saying, you ought to be teaching the Word of God. Now understand, teacher in this context doesn't mean that you become like a small group teacher or Sunday school teacher or a teacher preacher or we're not talking about an occupation or a position or a volunteer or whatever. We're talking about that you're just a mature Christian and you know your Bible and you can tell people the Bible, okay? You can teach people the Bible. He says you ought to be a teacher. You know what? Almost everybody in this room ought to be a teacher. You ought to be a teacher. Are you a teacher? Are you a teacher? He says, I keep on having come back to the first principles of the oracles of God. I keep having to give you milk and not solid food. He says, I got to keep coming back to Sunday school with you and kindergarten in the sense of Sunday school or first grade or whatever. You know, we have to always go back to the first principles. We always have to start at the beginning with you. Now, everybody has to start at the beginning. Okay, so if you haven't been saved very long and you're learning the beginning things, you're in the place you need to be, okay? Because we all have to start there. But none of us are at the end there, okay? None of us are at the end there. We are to grow up and start getting some solid food. Start getting some, it's abnormal, okay, not to grow. Everyone who partakes only of the milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. He's a babe, okay? But listen to this, verse 14. But solid food belongs to those who are of a full age. That is, those who by reason of use had their senses exercised. Here it is, to discern good and evil. See, God wants to grow you up. And God wants to get you at a point where you are nourishing yourself with some solid food. And you're able to exercise discernment. When that guy comes across the Christian radio station, the television station, you know whether they're teaching sound doctrine or not. You know it, okay? Because you know your Bible. And just because it says it's Christian doesn't mean it's biblical, okay? Just means they have enough money to pay the bill. Okay, that's about what it means, all right? Because that stuff's expensive, all right? You know, that's why they want you to sow a seed or whatever. Anyway, moving forward here, okay? All right, don't get me on that. Okay, anyway, moving forward here, okay? Do you have discernment? Do you have discernment? That's God's plan. 2 Timothy 2:2 explains that as well. The Bible should be like a running stream, not a stagnant pool in your life. The plan for biblical interpretation. Are you, listen, honestly, are you a testimony of God's plan? Do you properly understand the Bible? Okay. Are you able to properly instruct people in the Bible? If not, if you've been saved any time, that is sin in your life. That is absolute sin in your life. God wants you to grow through the Bible. Number two, the priority of Bible intervention. The priority. It's so important. And Paul takes this from a negative perspective to emphasize the importance of Bible interpretation. What he talks about here is what happens when the Bible is not properly cut straight. See, when you don't properly cut the Bible straight, you end up with lots of weird stuff going on. Did you know that? Okay. Did you know that? When you don't properly cut the Bible straight, you end up with lots of weird stuff going on in your life. You need to realize that and you need to understand that. Let me share with you a story that's been around a while. Maybe you've heard this story. Maybe you haven't. Okay. But here is a true story of a person who did not cut the Bible straight. But they ended up with a conclusion because of that. They ended up with a situation because of that. And there was this guy, and he was going to make a decision. He needed to make a decision. And because he was Christian, he knew he should go to the Bible to try to figure out his decision. So he decides, I'm going to go to the Bible. I'm going to let God speak to me through the Bible. And whatever God shows me, you know, through my method here, okay, which is called, I call it the lucky flip method. Some of you use the lucky flip method. You told me that on that survey, which, how's that going for you? Let me know about that, okay? You know, you just, wherever the Bible lands, that's fine, okay? I'm not against it. I'm just not for it, okay? There's a better way of doing it, okay? There's a better way of doing it. Hopefully you're seeing that in this series, okay? But this guy decides he's got this big decision to make, so he's going to let God speak to him through the Bible, and he's just going to open up the Bible, put his finger down, and bam, whatever shows up, that must be God speaking to me. So he does that the first time, and God is in his word, and he lands his finger on Matthew 27:5, okay? Where the Bible says, Judas went out and hanged himself. Judas went out and hanged himself. Well, he's thinking, man, that's not very good. I must have messed up something. I couldn't be God talking to me. I need to do this again and get this thing right. So he flips again, the lucky flip, okay? And he comes to a page in the Bible and spins his finger, puts it down. What's God going to show me about my decision? Well, he lands on Luke 10:37. Luke 10:37. What does Luke 10:37 say? Go. And do thou likewise. Go and do thou likewise. He's thinking, this thing's not working out too good for me, okay? Judas went out and hung himself. Go and do thou likewise. I got to be messing things up. I got a decision to make, and I need God to lead me. I'm going to give God one more chance here, okay? So there he goes again. Lucky flip. Abracadabra. Boom. Whatever, okay? He opens up to John 13:27. Where the Bible says, what thou doest, do quickly. Whatever you do, do quickly. So, did he use the Bible? Yes. When those Mormons come to your house, do you think they got a Bible with them? Yeah. In fact, they got a King James Version Bible with them, okay? You think those Jehovah's Witnesses don't have a Bible? They got a messed up Bible for sure, but they got something they call the Bible, okay? It's not like people don't use the Bible, you understand? It's whether you cut it straight or not. You understand? It's whether you cut it straight or not. You've heard the statement, you can prove anything with the Bible? That's pretty much true, okay? That's pretty much true. So what happens when you don't properly cut it straight? Well, number one, incorrect interpretation causes doubt. It causes people to doubt. Paul talks about it leads to their ruin. And you know how Satan wants to ruin you? He wants to get you to doubt. the Word of God. That's been his oldest strategy. That's the oldest one around. He came to Eve in Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Question mark. Sure, God said that. He said it. And now Satan's trying to get her to doubt. Satan's putting a question mark where God put a period. And that's what the enemy wants to do. And one of the ways he does that is people start sharing with each other and arguing with each other. And it leads to people's ruin. And one of the best applications of this that many of us can relate to is a small group environment. Now, we're all for sharing. We're all for asking questions. We're all for personal application. All that stuff's good, okay? But the bottom line is, when you come into a small group atmosphere, okay, it's just not enough for us to share our ignorance with each other, okay? And that's what happens a lot of times. People, well, I think it means this. Well, I think it means that, okay? Well, how much time did you work on that? Well, I just thought about it sitting here today, okay? No, I got 20 hours in this message today. I didn't just show up here today, okay? I'm going to get up here and I'm going to tell you what I believe, thus says the Lord, okay? That's what I'm going to do, okay? And in a small group, somebody, call the leader, okay, needs to step up and says, this is what God says. To the best of my ability, this is what I believe, okay? This is what I believe. And, you know, James chapter 3 says, because of this holy desk I'm standing behind today, or not really the desk as much as the book I'm holding in my hands, and hundreds of people are going to hear me today, okay? Hundreds. The Bible says I'm going to give a greater account. I got a greater judgment facing me because of my position today. See, I have great authority to lead this church, okay? But I also have great accountability, okay? Great accountability. And when you're a small group leader, you have great authority. God's giving you a very special position, but with it comes great accountability. And you better believe when you lead a group that you are going to be held accountable to God for that. It doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. It just means you need to prepare yourself and do it well, okay? And do it well. And somebody in that small group needs to step up and says, I'll tell you what it means, okay? I'll tell you what it means, okay? Here's what it means, okay? Because we're not just going to share spiritual ignorance here, okay? Here's what the Word of God says. I love Nehemiah 8:8. I almost use Nehemiah 8 as my passage. In fact, when I first start, I do like a worksheet for every series. I have all these different columns. Okay, what are we going to do for this? What are we going to do for that? And for the longest time, Nehemiah 8 was my passage for the day. Okay, I love it. And I love verse 8. It says, so they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. Somebody needs to give the sense, and somebody needs to help them understand the reading. Secondly, incorrect interpretation causes disease. It causes disease. Think about Galatians 1:6-12. Just listen to me. I didn't have room for it. I don't want you to turn there. Just listen to me real quick. I got a lot to say and don't have long to say it, okay? Well, you can read it later. Okay, here's what's going on in Galatians. Here is a group of churches, not just one church. You know, some books are written to a church. Galatia was a region, and it was written to multiple churches in that region. And here's what happened. Okay, false teaching got in the church. And the false teaching was of the utmost importance because it dealt with salvation. How do we get to heaven? How are we saved? And you know what happened? What happened was false teaching got in there, teaching that the way to get to heaven is not just through Jesus and Christ alone and faith alone, but it's through good works. That you can earn your way to heaven, which is a lie. You cannot work your way to heaven. We're saved through Jesus and Jesus alone, okay? Turning from our sin, putting our trust in Christ is the only way to heaven. And this false teaching came in there, okay? And listen, it became a disease. The Bible talks about it like a cancer. And it started spreading through all these churches. And Paul steps in there and says, thus says the Lord. You know what he says to them? If they want to believe that, they can go to hell, is what he said. And because they were shocked. Okay, read it for yourself. He just said they can go to hell, okay? He said it again. Okay. It's a really cool passage. And Paul says, if an angel comes in here and preaches that stuff, don't believe him. Don't believe him. But what happened? It spread. And this is what goes on. We have whole so-called denominations where this is. I mean, take Lutherans. Martin Luther was the one that nailed the thing to the door, okay? That salvation is through Christ and faith alone, okay? You go to your average Lutheran church today. I just spoke at a Lutheran church a month ago for Losing the Lip. Great pastor. Evangelical pastor. Fantastic man of God, okay? Loves God, preaches the word of God, believes in the true gospel. And he just told me how heartbroken he is about the theological condition of so many of those churches, okay? Here was a man, Martin Luther, who nailed the thing to the wall, if you know anything about that, okay? And stood for the word of God and suffered for that being persecuted. And yet this disease crept in. You could do that in so many different groups, including Baptist churches, okay? See, false doctrine gets in and it starts spreading like a disease. That's why we have to deal with it, okay, at the point of entry, okay? That's why the Bible says a pastor has to realize that there, Acts 20, that there's going to be false teaching coming from within, from without and within. And a pastor, verse 31 says, has to watch out for this stuff. Okay, a pastor has to watch out for this stuff and has to warn people about it night and day. Verse 32, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. That's the last verse on that page. Because it's a disease, but it also causes damage. Causes damage. Damage. Paul names names. You know, a lot of times these days, if you name a name, people say, judge not, lest ye be judged. Let me give you another verse, Mark. People that teach false doctrine. Got that one down in your list of verses? Okay. He says, let me tell you something. There's two jokers named Hymenaeus and Philetus. They're of this sort. And we don't know much about Hymenaeus. That's all we know about him. We got another one on Philetus. Remember I told you how weird these Bible names were? Okay. Philetus is talked about in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 20, of whom are Hymenaeus and also names Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. Paul says, these are really nice guys. I mean, they smile. They're happy, happy, happy. They make me feel so good. I just love watching them, man. It makes me feel so good. I mean, just it's so wonderful just listening to these people. They just make me happy, happy, happy. You know? He says, I'll deliver them to hell. Okay? I'll deliver them to hell. Wow, powerful stuff. Because when you start messing with the word of God, folks, it's serious. It is serious. This thing is important, the Bible. Okay? The Bible is important, okay? And if you don't cut it straight, it's going to cause damage. And here's what it said they did. They overthrew the faith of some. See, false teachers overthrow the faith. Okay, we had a member of our church years ago, and she was listening to this radio preacher named Harold Camping, okay? And that joker, he's done this more than once, okay? Predicted the date when Jesus would come. She was a faithful member of our church, okay? And she bought into Harold Camping and what he was going to say about the world ending, and it didn't happen. You know what? She hasn't stepped foot in this church since then. That's been 15, 20 years ago, okay? He overthrew her faith. And all the time I tried to talk with her, it didn't get through, okay? He's going to be held accountable for that, okay? She will too, by the way, okay? God's not going to let her off the hook either, okay? But the point is, it matters. How many times do we send some of our finest and our best young people to secular universities and they come back practically almost atheist? What happens by that? They get under this teaching and it's corrupt and their faith gets made fun of and they don't understand. They can't defend themselves. And we can't protect ourselves from this. We all have to deal with it. It's not just a university. It's the culture, right? Okay? False teachers can overthrow the faith. That's why as parents, we have to train our kids, okay, to know what they believe and why they believe it. Okay, not just what they believe, but why. And the church plays a role, but that's ultimately a parent's responsibility, okay? We partner with you parents, okay? But it's not enough just to bring them here for, you know, we can't fix your kid, okay? In the short time we got here, okay? I'm sorry, we can't fix them for you, okay? Okay, we partner with you, okay? We can help you, we can add to what you're doing, but you're the got to be the primary influencer. And men, fathers, you got to be the main influencer, okay? You got to step up and lead. Let's go to the back page of notes. Boy, this is something else here, okay? The principles of Bible interpretation. Real quick, Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. When it comes to these principles, you got to realize that God chose to reveal himself. There's lots of things we don't know about God, okay? Lots of things. But there are things we know about God. And he revealed them to us in the Bible, okay? He revealed them to us in the Bible. Now, 2 Peter chapter 3 is a very interesting passage. Okay, look at verse 16. It's about halfway down on the left-hand side. See the statement, some things hard to understand? Would you underline that? See that? Underline that. Some things hard to understand. That's a really interesting statement. You know what you got going on there? You got Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, telling us that what Paul wrote was hard to understand, some of it. The Bible says, some of it's going to be hard to understand. You see that? And aren't you glad? Because it's about my God, okay? And he's hard to understand sometimes, okay? And I'm glad. Because that's the kind of God I want to serve. I'm glad I got a God I can't put in a box. Amen? I'm glad I got a God I don't totally understand him, okay? I'm glad that he's ultimately infinite. I mean, he's beyond human understanding. Praise God, okay? But there are things I can understand. Let me give you some principles real fast, okay? I use the acrostic LIGHT. The first one is literal, the literal principle. Okay, when you interpret the Bible, you interpret it literally, okay? It says what it means, and it means what it says, unless God tells you it's something else. Sometimes God says, I'm giving you this as a symbol, or I'm giving you this as an illustration, or I'm giving you as this, okay? But when the Bible says it, the Bible says it. The Bible says God spoke the world into existence in 6 literal days. That's what the Bible says. Doesn't say there were these times in between. It doesn't say that God used evolution or whatever. No, the Bible says how the world got here, okay? The Bible tells us. The Bible says Jonah was in the belly of a big fish. That's where he was, okay? That's where he was, okay? And listen, all this stuff is based on how big is your God, you know? That's what it comes to. You know what the biggest miracle is? Your salvation. There's no bigger miracle in the world that God saved you, okay? And if you can handle some of those, you don't even understand what the biggest miracle is, okay? It's that God would provide salvation for you, okay? That God would provide salvation for you. So the Bible, you know, we got accepted at face value. There are times when the Bible says this is what it means. Okay, I'm giving you this. This is this. This is a type. This is a whatever, okay? But we approach it from a literal standpoint. And then illumination. The Bible is a spiritual book. Remember what 2 Peter chapter 1 says? The Bible says that holy men of God spoke as they were moved by who? Moved by the Holy Spirit. And we need the Holy Spirit to help us, to illuminate us. And that's why we have to rely on the Spirit of God to help us and to guide us as we're reading God's Word. John 14, verse 26 tells us that the Holy Spirit would come and he would teach us. He would teach us all things. And that's why this book is never going to make any sense to a lost person, because they're spiritually dead. They are never going to understand the Bible. It's never going to make any sense to them. They're going to think it's stupid. They're going to think it's ignorance to believe it. They're going to think you're crazy, okay? The problem is they don't have the Holy Spirit, okay? They don't have the illumination, okay? You got to look for the grammar, grammatical principles. Why? Because the Bible, the Old Testament mainly was written in Hebrew, New Testament in Greek, some Aramaic spread in between. And that's why you got to go back and say, okay, this is cutting it straight. This is cutting it straight. Oh, okay. That's what that means, to cut it straight. You see how much we learn there? Think about the word love. There's several words in the Bible for love. The three ones most people know are agape, phileo, and eros. Three different words for love, right? Hey, Greek words. Eros is physical love. Phileo is friendship love. And agape is divine love, okay? So like in John chapter 21, Jesus comes up to Peter and says, Peter, do you love me? And in the English, it's, Peter says, yes, I love you. But what's going on there? Jesus said, do you love me agape? Do you love me with divine love? Peter responds with phileo, I love you as a friend. Now, I respect Peter for that, by the way. Before, he was the biggest old mouth. You know, he'd always be bragging about what he was going to do. You know, finally he's saying, I think I love you at least as a friend. Okay? So, go Peter, okay? That's okay. That was some maturity right there, okay? At least he answered maybe really what he believed, you know? But the point is, it wasn't an equal kind of love, right? It was two kinds of love going on there. Historical principle. You got to look at what's going on in history. You got to look at what's going on in culture. I mean, so many illustrations. One of my favorite that means a lot to me is John chapter 4, where the Bible says Jesus needed to go through Samaria. He needed to go. What's the big deal there? Well, it's a big deal. But you got to know history. You got to know culture. What's the history? What's the culture? The Jews and the Samaritans hated each other. And they would literally, Jews would go way out of their way in their travels not to have to go through Samaria. It'd be like you saying, I want to go to Delaware, but I'm not going through Maryland, okay? I hate people in Maryland, so I'm going to West Virginia, and then we'll cut across the top. That's what they did. They hated one another. And here's Jesus saying, I'm going right through Samaria. He's letting us know he's not a racist. He's not a prejudiced person. As a Jewish male, he went there to speak to a Samaritan woman, okay, who was thirsty. And Jesus helped her, okay? Amen? That's all history. The text, this is the most important thing. Context, context, context. Okay, everything has to be interpreted by context. Context, context, context. You start with the whole Bible. Then you go down to that book, that testament. Is it Old Testament? Is it New Testament? Then you go to the book of the Bible. Okay? Then you go to the paragraphs. Then you go to the verses. And then you got to get down right to the word. Okay? All that's context. The Bible, is it Old or is it New Testament? Which book is it? Okay? What passages is it about? What's this verse about? What's this word about? You got to look at the context, comparing scripture with scripture. Oh, sorry, folks. We didn't cover it all. Guess you're going to have to go to seminary, okay? Or you can go to Capital Baptist Bible Institute, and we'll teach you a lot, too, okay? Well, amen, okay? But at least you can say you heard one sermon on interpretation, okay? Let's pray. Father, we love you, and thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.